The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Jesus' miracles prompt Nicodemus to visit him in secrecy. Jesus tells him about being born of the Spirit and about the Son who has been sent by God to save. I begin reading at verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except for the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me introduce myself. I was asked to come and speak to you today. My name is Nicodemus. I am a Jew and I am a scholar. I love to teach and I love to dwell into the depths of theology and of the law and of religion and of philosophy. My mind needs to be stimulated, and I love to teach. And as a matter of fact, many of my colleagues were impressed with my teaching and my thought that they raised me up and they put me on the Supreme Jewish Council. I, along with 69 other Jews, learned men, make the decisions for Israel. For the most part, we rule Israel. We control Israel. We make the laws. We make sure that things flow from day to day. We make sure that commerce is happening. We take care of most of everything in Israel except those few things that the Roman government tells us we must do. There's a couple of things we cannot do, such as determine how much taxes people should pay, and we can't pronounce the death penalty on people. And there's several other things, too, that the Roman government says is specifically theirs. But for the most part, we rule Israel. You may consider me as a senator with the power and the might that goes along with it and the responsibility. But I need a challenge. I need a mental challenge from time to time. And lately, the pool of mental challenges has kind of dried up. Oh, there's many other learned people and scholars around to debate with and have arguments with and just have discussions and pick up new ideas. But lately, that's been getting kind of stale. All the arguments are predictable. The the dialogue goes back and forth. It's the same old thing. I need something new. I'm missing something in my life. But then I heard about a new prophet, a new teacher. Some people were calling him a prophet. Others were calling him a carpenter. And from what I learned of him, he was just from the backwoods somewheres. And he was a carpenter, a nobody. Evidently, he didn't have any kind of credentials. He didn't study under any of the famous rabbis. None of my colleagues really ever heard of him before. But some people were calling him a prophet. Others were even going so far as calling him the Messiah, the one that the Holy Scriptures have predicted would be coming to save the world and to save us. Others were calling him the Son of David or the Son of Man or even the Son of God. This sounded a bit intriguing for me, so I had to check it out. But I had to be quiet about it. I had to be secretive about it because actually some of my other colleagues had checked him out before. They had to go challenge him a bit and put him in his place because he seemed like he was starting to climb up to places higher than he belonged. And so my colleagues went out to him to ask him questions, or to challenge him, or to argue with him, or again, to put him in his place. And each time one of my colleagues went out, they came back chastised. They came back defeated. Some of them were amazed at what this teacher had to say. Others turned angry. And some of my colleagues were saying, this man is even dangerous. People are starting to listen to him. And when they start to listen to him, they're going to start to listen to these strange new ideas. And when they start to listen to these strange new ideas, things are going to get topsy-turvy. And if they get topsy-turvy, the Roman government is going to come down on us, and bad things are going to happen. He's dangerous. We need to get rid of him. This all intrigued me. I had to go check it out. So one night, under the cover of darkness, I found Jesus, and I had a conversation with him. And what a conversation it was. Boy, talk about mental stimulation and a new way of thinking, new thoughts, new ideas. It completely changed my perspective on life. And so as I approached Jesus, I didn't want to intimidate him with my power or with my riches, my good clothes or intellect. And so I said, good teacher, we know that you're from God. Because of all the signs and the wonders that you can do, nobody could do those apart from God. Boy, let me tell you what, he didn't need any buttering up. He didn't need his ego stroke because when he spoke with authority. And not only authority, it sounded like he was the source of that authority. He knew what he was talking about. And right off the bat, he got my intellect stimulated because he said, the comment that he made to me was, nobody is good, nobody is from God unless they are born from above. And I had to stop and think about that for a minute. And I asked him, what is this born from above or born anew or born again? Can somebody enter back into their mother and be born once again? And Jesus told me, no one can be born from above unless they are born of water and the Spirit. No one can receive this Spirit. And he told me, you Pharisees and you scribes, you learned people, you leaders, have tried to put Jesus in a box. You've tried to confine him to the laws, to the thou shalt's and thou shalt not's. And to tie them all up in this neat little package. But when you do that, you've forgotten completely about the Spirit of God and about the Spirit of Scriptures and what Scriptures, what the intention of Scriptures were and about who God actually is. Because this Spirit blows where it will. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. And when people are filled with this Holy Spirit, they move in new and different ways, and they do the things of God when you are born of water and born of the Spirit. That was a completely new way of thinking because,
You know, could I have been wrong all these years? Is it wrong to think that everything that we do must be a thou shalt or a thou shalt not? That we should follow all these laws? That we should follow all these codes that are put together? And if we do those, we're a good person. If we don't, we're a bad person. That we can judge people on the basis of how well they follow all these laws and all these codes? Or have I been wrong of looking down on people who are not as smart as I am? Or as rich as I am? Or as powerful as I am? It was a completely new way of thinking about these things. And so I asked Jesus, how can this be? And I have to admit, it sounded, the answer that came back to me was a bit chastising. It didn't sound too good. When Jesus said, what? You are a teacher. You are a learned scholar. You are a leader. And yet you still do not understand these things? You are the ones who have studied scriptures all your lives. You know it frontwards and backwards. And yet you still do not understand these things? If I tell you about the earthly things and you won't listen to me, what will you do when I tell you about the things of God? When I explain to you about mercy? When I give you examples of the grace of God that has been poured down upon these people? Or about the love which fills God and overflows into the rest of us? Will you believe then? And then Jesus went on and said, you remember that story of Moses out in the wilderness? That the people were grumbling and complaining, and so God sent snakes, and the snakes bit the people. And when the snakes bit the people, they were poisonous, and the people died. And they cried back to Moses, Moses, we have sinned. Do something. Call to God again and fix this. And so what Moses does then is he makes a bronze serpent and puts it on a pole and raises it up so that anyone who is bitten and looks upon that pole will be healed. As Moses raised that snake up, so must the Son of Man also be raised up. Now, I have to admit, that one took some thinking on my part. I didn't quite understand it at that time, but with Jesus speaking with such authority, I did become a Christian. I became a secret Christian because the other members on the council would not understand, and I would be kicked off, and I thought that as being a Christian on the council, I may have some influence on what goes on in this country. I didn't understand it then what Jesus was talking about, that the Son of Man must be raised up. But later on, I did understand. As I said, many of my colleagues on the council were very disgruntled with Jesus. They were angry at him. They thought he was dangerous. They had to get rid of him. And that's exactly what they did, or that's what they tried to do. They finagled it with all their political suavity, and they had Jesus arrested. They arranged for witnesses to come and give false testimony against Jesus and had him condemned. They even convinced Pilate, the Roman governor, to have him executed. And Jesus was raised up. He was raised up on a pole. He was raised up on a cross and hung there to die. But that wasn't it. I also found out that there was another secret Christian on the council with me. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. And we made arrangements then to have that body of Jesus taken down and anointed with the expensive perfumes and ointments that are needed for burial. And Joseph gave that body, gave a grave for the body. And we placed Jesus there. Jesus was raised up on the cross. But he was also raised up from death. He came back to life. As I said, I became a Christian. And I believe fully that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one that the scriptures and the prophets have all talked about. But I was secretive. And I remained on the council, trying to help influence some of my other colleagues and also influencing some of the laws and the practices so that these Christians would not be so much persecuted. I don't know how effective I was, but I believe that God puts us in places as we are washed with the water, as we are given that Spirit, as we are born from above. God puts us in places that we may not understand or always figure out of how we're supposed to do things. But I think God puts us in those situations a lot of times and helps lead us and guide us through what we're supposed to do. As I think, that's what God did with me. Hopefully, I served Him faithfully. Where has God put you? Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.